Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruth E.C.
This half hour is presented by the Neal Chiropractic Clinic and Dr. Charles Neal, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today on the Neal Clinic Spine Line. I'm Dr. Ben McMillan. I'm a chiropractor and the owner at the Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare on Creighton Road. Joining me this morning is Dr. Charles Neal. He's a retired chiropractor and also the founder of the Neal Clinic, who is still committed to patient education because the healthcare world is so complex that even when you've been in it for 38 years, like he has,
oh, thanks.
It is still a maze, and you can get very lost in that maze.
Yeah, true that.
So the last few weeks, we've been talking about degeneration problems and the domino effect. And once you knock over that first domino, the whole string keeps falling until you end up with pain. Your back hurts or your neck hurts because that last domino falling in the string is back pain. So when a patient comes to see me or their chiropractor, it's all about stopping your pain. But that last domino, the pain isn't the cause of your problem. Your pain is the side effect of other problems, and my job is to find the cause and fix it. I'm going to give you an example that I use a lot in the clinic. If I'm hammering in a nail and I hit my thumb with the hammer, the pain in my thumb, that's not the cause of the problem. It was my bad aim with the hammer.
Yeah, exactly. And I promise this will be the last show we talk about the row of dominoes. I know it's been off and on the last three shows. But you know what? It is such a perfect analogy. When a patient is having pain and they take pain medication, that's not addressing the cause of their problem. They just want to feel better. And you know, that's okay for a little while. Your chiropractor wants to look further up the string of dominoes to help you feel better by finding what's causing your problem. When we find the domino that started it all, the one that's causing all the other stuff, including the pain, then we take care of the whole issue. And hopefully it never comes back. The other dominoes are what's causing your pain. So Davis is with us here today, and I'm going to put him on the spot since Ruthie bowed out. She heard she was going to be called up today. she had to go to a wedding. But anyway, Davis, put you on the spot. The last dominoes in the row, the last domino in the row is your pain. What's the two before that that are causing pain?
Let's see. Let's say muscle issues, or maybe what's causing the pain, the event that causes the pain to happen.
Yes. Yeah. There's the I fell down.
Okay.
And then there's some other dominoes in between, and the end result is the pain. So you're on the spot here. No prep. No.
Serious. And they thought Ruthie was going to win the show today, too. I surprised them.
No safety net.
There's the dominoes in between.
Yeah.
So we got muscles, and what's guess number two?
You said
bones.
Okay.
Am I on the right path?
And in between the bones are joints.
Joints and tissues.
And those tissues get
inflamed.
Bingo.
There we go. We knew he'd get there eventually.
You got it. So yeah, the muscle problem, muscle spasms, and the joints get inflamed. So these are the components that result in pain. But again, the muscle spasm is not an incident that just happens randomly. There was a cause, and the inflammation didn't just show up. There was a cause.
Yeah, and so those last two dominoes that caused the pain, your muscle spasms and the inflamed nerve or the inflamed joint, you know, besides just straight up pain pills, most of the medications that your primary care would prescribe you are going to be geared towards anti-inflammatory or the muscle relaxer effects, because we know that if we reduce the inflammation and the muscle spasm, your pain gets better.
And so there again, when you're taking muscle relaxers or anti-inflammatories, okay, you're a couple of dominoes up from the outright, just give me a pain reliever. You know, that there's your last domino, pain reliever. Next one's up, the muscle relaxer. What if you keep looking further up the chain? Davis, I'm not going to put you on the spot here. but what if you say, okay, reducing muscle spasm is great. Reducing inflammation, that's a fine thing. But it's still not treating the cause of my problem. So there's something further up the row of dominoes that caused the inflammation, that caused the muscle spasms, and here is where your chiropractor lives. Find the spine problem that's causing inflammation and spasm, and now we know that we're dealing with the pain. So we're looking more at the cause. Fix the cause, and all of the pain and spasm dominoes don't fall over. And, you know, in the world of pharmaceuticals, they deal with those last three dominoes of pain, spasm, and inflammation in there, because they're not chiropractors, because they can't go further back up and correct what is creating pain and spasm and inflammation in joints. They're caused by something, but taking pain meds and anti-inflammatories are not addressing the cause. Your chiropractor does.
And getting a massage to work on the muscle spasms is another great tool. But again, it's not addressing the cause. Another physical thing people tend to do is yoga or stretching your muscles. Same thing. It helps the muscles, but it's not looking at what's causing the system to spasm up on you. Very often there's a physical problem stressing your muscles and joints. It's usually a structural problem, and the best solution for those is a structural correction. And again, that's the whole world of chiropractic. I do the laser therapy and physical therapy, and that's going to help us get pain relief for you quicker and help the adjustments hold better and longer. But the therapy, again, isn't looking at your structure and alignment, and that's the key to the puzzle. That is why chiropractic has been so successful as a profession, because we focus on correcting alignment and mobilizing the joints in your spine that got stuck. And stuck. That's not a very scientific explanation, but it's accurate, and it makes for much easier listening than us up here talking about intra-articular derangement of your L4, L5 facets that, you know, are going to result in this spondylitic degenerative problem. I mean, we could go on for days, and we're stuck for now.
Let's stay with stuck, yeah. I mean, if you have a structural problem in your back or in your neck, the joints are not moving like they should. They are stuck somehow out of position. They're moving wrong or not moving at all, and this is a bad thing. It's going to make the surrounding muscles spasm up. It's going to hurt, and so, you know, we try to go back to the origin of the problem. We work on that first domino, that is the structural problem, creating the spasms and creating your pain. And that's the reason we talk so much about getting your spine checked after an accident, whether it's a fall or a whiplash automobile kind of accident. You probably misaligned the structure, and the quicker we fix it, the less problem it causes this week and next week and in 6 months and in 10 years.
And that's we call it that downward spiral, the progression to degeneration that happens when joints are all stressed out and moving poorly. If we correct the alignment and the movement, then you can stay on that upward spiral and you'll be able to exercise and get stronger without hurting your back. And exercise and maintaining strength is really important if you want to age well and be healthy.
Age healthy. That's cool. Oh, I have to confess. Dr. Ellen, my wife, Dr. Ellen Neal, corrected me when we were talking about osteoporosis a couple of weeks ago, I said something that wasn't completely accurate. So here I am today to give you the rest of the story, since I got caught in a partial accuracy. We were talking about osteoporosis and the world of preventing osteoporosis as well as treating osteoporosis. And that was the week we tried to catch Ruthie by asking her what is the best treatment for osteoporosis. And she knew the answer. She knew the answer was weight-bearing exercise.
Which was great, because if we ask that to a lot of people on the street, everybody always says, take calcium. And the answer there was, well, yes, calcium is important, but having the building blocks available doesn't mean your body will use them. It's that weight-bearing exercise, like Ruthie said, that's going to stimulate the body to pick the calcium up out of the bloodstream and put it into your bones.
And that was the discussion then, and every bit of that is right, except when we talk about weight-bearing exercise, you actually have to include all four extremities. Walking is a very good basic weight-bearing exercise for your hips, your legs, but we left out arms and shoulders. Dr. Ellen was talking to an orthopedic surgeon about this, and he was talking about he had a patient, a woman who was older, but she was a runner. She's a runner, and she had excellent scores on her DEXA scans, because where do they do DEXA scans? They do low back, and they do your hip joint. She had no osteoporosis at all, but this lady had fallen and broken bones in her wrist or her arm twice because she wasn't doing any upper body exercising. Running's great stimulation on the back. And it's great for the hips and legs. It kept her bone density at great levels in her lower body. But her job was a desk job. She sat at a computer all day. She got almost no resistance exercise for her arms and shoulders. And guess what was breaking? Bones are made strong. Bones are made stronger by exercise, just like muscles are. This lady was extremely fit, except that she didn't exercise her upper body, and she had osteoporosis in her arms and shoulders, but not her legs. And so the orthopedic told this lady that iron was extremely important to help her upper body osteoporosis get better, except he wasn't talking about iron, taking iron. Taking iron will not help your osteoporosis. He was talking about lifting iron. He was talking about doing some weight training for the arms and shoulders by lifting weights. So I'm sorry, folks, there is no magic pill here. The way to stay healthy, keep moving, use it or lose it. That includes your arms and your legs, and it includes your brain, by the way. Use it or lose it.
And that's my job as your chiropractor, is to keep you at performance level so you can continue to do the things and activities that you want to do. That process generally begins with a new patient when I help reduce the amount of pain you're in, and then educating you on how to safely and effectively strengthen your body so you can continue to do those activities. And speaking of continuing to move, we had a caller message in a question, and they wanted to know, can you do anything for adhesive capsulitis? And for those of you that don't know what that is, it's oftentimes called frozen shoulder. And yes, it kind of exactly what we're talking about. Keep that shoulder moving. And again, the hard part about that is frozen shoulder is also painful.
It is, and the question about adhesive capsulitis, or we'll just call it frozen shoulder, is essentially one of how bad is it, okay? If you are froze up, the little old lady who used to come to the clinic and her arms, her elbows were always down by her side because she couldn't move them anyhow, anyway, she drove with her with her arms up looking like a little T-Rex. I'm sorry, little old lady, but she did. Her shoulders were stuck, and so she would drive literally with just her elbows and her wrist, and she couldn't move them. And she came to us, and we did a little bit of work on her and said, I'm sorry, but these are too far gone. In the orthopedic world, what they do with a frozen shoulder is not pleasant if you think about it directly. But basically, they put you under anesthesia, and they restore motion to that joint, however it has to happen. And then when you come to, you're sore as you can possibly be, but they've broken it up a little bit.
Yeah, removing those adhesions is not something that's that you want to be awake for.
Yeah, no. No, no. So, you know, there are limitations, and that's the orthopedic surgeon's job if it's all that froze up. If it's less than full out frozen up, though, a lot of times it can be restored. I would consider some chiropractic and or physical therapy, and you got to start moving it. You have to, you know, if it hurts to move it 10 degrees, then move it 11 and let it sit there just a little bit so that it kind of relaxes into a little bit more movement. And tomorrow go 12 degrees. And the next, you know, you have to push it a little bit. It's a matter of restoring, well, as Dr. McMillan said, breaking up those adhesions.
And that's kind of the progression of the frozen shoulder, is that people's shoulders hurts, you know, if they're reaching above their head to get something down from the top shelf. Well, guess what? Nothing goes on the top shelf anymore, and it gets lower. And then it continues to get lower and lower because you don't want to move your shoulder into pain. And then it gets to a point where you're now the little old lady driving to the clinic.
Like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Yeah. I'm sorry. I hope she's not listening. Oh, but the orthopedist that Dr. Ellen was talking to, they also went on to talk about carpal tunnel syndrome versus diabetic neuropathy. Now, this is nothing chiropractic, okay? But this is valuable information. This is important to your health. If you have forearm or hand pain, that can be really tricky to figure out. But there's one thing that we can do for you and help you start figuring it out at home. If you got wrist or hand pain, is it carpal tunnel syndrome or not? If you got a pinched nerve, it'll cause numbness, it'll cause tingling, it'll cause pain into your arm, into your leg, all the way out to your hand or your foot, whichever. But this is important here. If you are feeling it in both hands or both feet, there's a pretty high likelihood that there's something else going on. 99% of the time, a pinched nerve is on one side, not both, not simultaneously. So if you've got numbness or if you've got burning on both sides, both hands or both feet, it's really likely that you've got some sort of blood sugar problem. And it's sometimes the first symptom that people notice of diabetes. You need to see your family doc. I have helped dozens of people over the years figure out that they have a blood sugar problem. If there's any family history of diabetes, get that checked first. That kind of neuropathy can be extreme. That kind of neuropathy can be permanent if not dealt with early on.
And the question that I get a lot of times, you know, people have done some research on Dr. Google and WebMD when they come in and they say, it's got to be a pinched nerve. Both these hands are tingling. You know, why would my blood sugar affect my hands or my feet? And it's a starvation problem. Every cell in your body is going to be dependent upon blood sugar for fuel. And that blood sugar is delivered, obviously, through the bloodstream. So when your blood sugar is really high, your blood gets a little thicker, and the smallest blood vessels get gummed up first. And the very smallest vessels in your body are the ones that go to those really small nerves. So if you starve a nerve, it starts to misbehave.
Oh boy, does it. And that's, I mean, when we talk about diabetic neuropathy, it is a small nerve disease. It happens in the fingers and the toes. It happens in your hands and your feet. If it keeps getting worse and worse, it starts working its way up the leg or up the arm or whatever. But it starts with the smallest nerves first. And go get that checked. We had a follow-up text question about how do you get the adhesions in your shoulder? And we should go ahead and finish up on the frozen shoulder problem. The issue with adhesions in any joint, and of course chiropractors live in the world of spine, but whether it's your neck or your low back or your shoulder or whatever, if you have injured a joint and it isn't moving properly, it's going to build up a little bit of scar tissue. Guess what a little bit of scar tissue is? That's a little bit of adhesion. And if you don't move it as much, because now it hurts when it has a little scar tissue in it, it builds up a little more scar tissue. And that's why the seriously frozen shoulder is now an orthopedic, almost surgical level kind of problem, because the adhesions, the scar tissue is so thick in the joint that it's really not a functional joint anymore. And the whole thing in the spine, it will fuse. In the spine, the disc, which is the cushion between the vertebra, will start to degenerate and calcify, and it will fuse. They will grow together. And in that case, they don't mobilize it under anesthesia. They surgically undo it under anesthesia.
Yeah, and I mean, as if you just let that scar tissue go unchecked, the body will eventually start depositing calcium in some of those areas, and then it gets into the really surgical world. I mean, some of those tendons can calcify. You can have calcium deposited in muscles if that injury is bad enough.
So, I mean, to go back and finish up with the diabetic neuropathy analogy there, you know, the blood gets thicker, the smallest blood vessels get starved out first because the blood won't go through them properly, and the smallest blood vessels go to the smallest nerves, and you get tingling in your hands or your fingers. You get burning in your hands or your fingers or your toes. And the same thing with joint problems, whether it's that frozen shoulder or a frozen spine. It starts with a little bad motion that creates a little scar tissue, and it gets worse, and the adhesions start to develop. And it, Dr. McMillan called it that downward spiral. That's exactly what it is. And the chiropractor's job is catch this before that spiral flushes all the way down the toilet into, I'm sorry, bad analogies. but to clear that up, tingling or numbness in one hand or one foot, it's probably a pinched nerve. You should see your chiropractor. Both hands or both feet, go see your family doc first. Get your blood sugar assessed. Get your A1C checked, because diabetic neuropathy that goes untreated, it gets bad and it gets permanent. I mean, I have seen people where it doesn't go away. I'm sorry, but those nerves have gotten so badly starved that it cannot be helped and cleaned up. If they catch it early, they get on it quick enough, it's done. You're handled. So that was our public service announcement for diabetic neuropathy, completely unrelated to chiropractic. but you know what? It's important. It's important stuff.
And I have patients with nerve pain in my consultation room so often, and sometimes I do send them out for blood sugar testing because they don't have a pinched nerve that I can work on. They need a medical assessment for early diabetes. They need to be screened. And if you're feeling something in both extremities, get that checked out right away. That stuff can get bad really quickly.
And we don't have time. We were talking about carpal tunnel and there's more to talk about, because so many people get carpal tunnel syndrome, and I promise you that I will save that in my notes for things to do. I will save that for next week, because we are running out of time. The Neil Clinic is on Creighton Road. The Neil Clinic is right across the street from Walmart. I am retired, but Dr. McMillan is handling everything and handling everybody and taking good care of people. And if you want to talk to him, get a consultation, give the clinic a call. 479-SPINE is the number. 479-SPINE is one digit too many, but you are an intelligent radio listener. You know to stop at 7. So 479-SPIN if you must. But we will be back next week, and I promise we will talk about carpal tunnel. And now it's Mark's turn.